But I'm not gonna let them catch me, no. Not gonna let them catch the Midnight Rider.
Chris McMichael.
Yeah!
Sports Radio 101.
All right, I had a day to clear my head. I feel better.
WFAN.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 12:02. McMonagle here with you on the fan, 888-808-1019, that's the number. You should be used to that number by now, right? I don't have to give it 3-4 times an hour, do I? Let's just do it one more time, 888-808-1019. I got you for 5 hours as we ride through this Tuesday morning all the way to the warm-up show. Fliegelman on the other side. And here we are. Both baseball teams, I would say, going in opposite directions. We've kind of been saying that for the entire season almost. But the Mets can't deal with it either. Can't seem to deal with that prosperity there. Huddled right around that 500 mark. Can't seem to get a game better than that as they drop the afternoon game in Pittsburgh and go 4-4 on that 8-game road trip against Washington and Pittsburgh. And ultimately, you know, could you call it a successful road trip the way Nimmo did? I'm going to get into some other things Nimmo had to say right here in the open. But you did accomplish the idea that now you do have the tiebreaker over Pittsburgh, considering the previous series and now this one. And, of course, Washington, as of right now, have the tiebreaker. You're going to roll right into a homestand to lead into this All-Star break, which is obviously important. And you have an opportunity to continue to hold the tiebreaker over Washington. And, you know, for the Mets, it's interesting because Nimmo talked about as well as that he was satisfied with a 4-4, especially against the pitching they went up against. But watching this game, right? And we know the bullpen of the New York Mets and the New York Yankees and everyone in Major League Baseball who's looking to add or trade or subtract or like. Bullpen pitching seems to be on the forefront of this trade deadline. And watching this game with the Mets, yes, the offense cooled off a little bit, right? You get the big home run from Nimmo on a 3-0 count, the first time in his career that he put a 3-0 pitch in play, let alone hit one for a home run, which is remarkable. But he hits the home run to tie the game, and then right away, obviously, Christian Scott out there pitching a great game. And let me just say this about Yankee fans, Met fans, Aaron Boone. If Aaron Boone took out a starting pitcher who had given up one hit, albeit a two-run home run in the game, in the fifth inning, with two outs, and he got them rather easily, nobody on, and he took out that pitcher to bring in a pitcher making his major league debut, and they end up scoring 5 runs in that inning, I have a feeling Yankee fans would have a major problem with how Aaron Boone handled that inning. And I understand why they did it. We can get into why they pushed him in his previous start to 95, 99 pitches, whatever it was, knowing that he was going to be on regular rest and they were going to want to taper it down. We all understand that. But watching the game, watching this team, and in my mind, have already made the decision to look to add to this Met team. Now, I can't tell you how Stearns feels. I can't tell you how the owner feels. I can't tell you if every decision has been made on what they want to do, considering where they are, considering how many other teams will be aggressive in the free in the reliever market, considering how desperate they might be. The amount of, you know, you go into seasons in different times as a franchise with different meanings. We know the Yankees, whether come hell or high water, wherever they are in the standings, come the trade deadline, and I wouldn't expect them to be too, like, out of it necessarily, but they might even be worse off than they are right now, if you can imagine that. We know what the Yankees are going to attempt to do because of where everything is, because of what they need, because this is the year that they've dedicated, they traded for Soto. You don't know how long they're going to have Soto. They have Judge and Cole in the prime of their careers. Like, this is a go out there and try and win type season. For the Mets, heading into this year with all the different things that they talked about and building while trying to compete and building up a farm system, I don't know how eager they are to trade away for relief pitching. But watching this game, it's clear that, yes, the offense has cooled off and it hasn't been as dynamic as it was maybe a week ago, 5 days ago. it's cooled off a bit and ultimately didn't score enough runs in this game and didn't score enough runs in these eight games, quite honestly. But it's quite clear what they have, what they don't have, and what they desperately need. And yes, add them to the list of the myriad of teams right now who might consider themselves contenders who are looking for relief pitching. But as that game happens, it's that, and they mentioned on the broadcast, and it's actually really an interesting stretch as we do head into these last couple of series for both teams heading into the All-Star break, as the Mets now will welcome in Washington and Colorado before we go to the All-Star game and see Pete Alonso in the home run derby. You knew he wouldn't miss it. And we'll have some fun with that over the course of these 5 hours. But it's such a weird dynamic because it's the one thing that's crippling them. And it's the one thing that's costing them games. And it's been like that all year. And yes, Diaz is back now from his 10-game suspension. And yes, not many times do you think you can have to turn, you know, to Eric Orsi and his major league debut in big spots like that. You should be better than that in most spots. But ultimately, no one in this bullpen, outside of maybe Daniel Nunez, do you really trust? And as you watch them blow games, it's this weird dynamic of watching a team that you have faith in almost everything else, right? We've talked about the idea of trading and selling, you know, selling and buying all in the same breath because of the depth that you have in the rotation. And Christian Scott furthers that, having another great start. He was pretty good his first start. Now he's had a, you know, he's 6 runs, 2 innings on 1 hit. In this start, or 5 2/3, should I say? It could have been 6, but 5 2/3 of 1 hit baseball and 2 runs. I mean, you've seen, you know, Peterson kind of figure things out here and get it together. Severino, besides maybe his last outing was pretty bad, has been terrific. And you know that the depth inside this rotation gives you a chance with your starting pitcher. You got Senga coming back, and you don't necessarily need anything else to compete in this NL wildcard race. And you know the lineup that's been as dynamic as any in the entire sport over the last, you know, month and a half as they've gone on this run that has thrusted themselves right back into the mix and hovering right above 500 without necessarily being able to really hurdle that marker. But you know you trust the offense. There is one aspect of this team that is simultaneously hurting your ability to stay in the race and, quite honestly, perfectly explaining what you need to stay in it. And that's why the rest of these games are so fascinating, and why heading into this Washington series, welcoming the Nationals back into the building, is so important. And it's so important to go beat Colorado. And it's so important to play well until June 30th. And it's so important for this offense and guys like Brandon Nimmo, who are needling the owner and telling everybody who'll listen, who has a say in the matter, that they should be adding, we should be adding, we should be adding. This is the same group that at the beginning of the year spent the entire spring training trying to tell us they're better than we're being told and they're better than everybody thinks they are. And then the same group that rallied around a meeting and suddenly has now propelled themselves since that meeting into being a dynamic offense and Lindor taking leadership and Nimmo being about as clutch as any player in baseball. And as we go over his numbers over the last 2 days, as he's been an all-star snub, and we talk about his war and we talk about his this and his that, I can tell you he's driving in a hell of a lot of runs, more than I thought Nimmo could drive in. And he's got a power surge right now that I didn't expect. And up and down this lineup, you're getting quality at bats, whether it's from guys like, you know, Taylor filling in, whether, you know, obviously Vientos has changed things. We know who's come in here and changed this lineup. But as you get through these games, and as much as Nimmo might tell you 4-4 is pretty good considering who they're pitching against and playing against, and yes, they did at least accomplish the idea of now they own the tiebreaker against the Pittsburgh Pirates. That was kind of check one going into it. But ultimately, if they are going to go 4-4 over 8 in the middle of the stretch, I don't know how good it is. I don't know how much they're going to need to outperform what they've already accomplished to make sure that this owner and this GM are willing to go buy and go buy significantly. Because I just don't know. And I understand there's tea leaves, and I understand that many people think that, hey, it's the market. What are you going to do? You can't ignore this type of thing. You can't ignore them playing this way. I don't know. I have no idea what Stearns has in his mind. Stearns could very easily say, you know what? They're probably good enough to stay in it the whole way. That's kind of all we promised the fan base. That's all we were looking for this year. I have bigger plans for moving in the future. And honestly, I just don't know if I trust what I have in the depth of this rotation. I don't know if I trust a lineup that's been wildly inconsistent this year. And I don't know if I trust the team necessarily to go move all my chips or go move big chips or go move a good portion of my chips to help bolster this offense when I know I'm going against the Dodgers. I know I'm going against the Braves, who are getting hot. I know I'm going against Philadelphia, who's got the best record in baseball. I'm going through a very top-heavy National League, and is it worth it to me? Is it worth it to me? So if Nimmo wants to needle him, that's fine. And if Nimmo wants to try and make it clear that he thinks the Mets should be looking out on the trade deadline market to go acquire a reliever who they desperately need, well, then it's up to this offense, namely, to go outscore everybody else over the next 2 weeks and to go in and take care of business against Washington and then go beat one of the only few teams who are out of it in the National League in the Colorado Rockies and, you know, start the second half the same way as you've ended the first, because we don't know what they're going to do. And watching that game last night is the exact epitome of the catch-22 of this team. Are they good enough? Is this bullpen in the stretch of 3 weeks good enough to keep it afloat? To make sure this GM adds to the bullpen that's hurting them? I don't know, but I find it fascinating. And I think right now there's a lot of talk about all-stars, and there's a lot of talk about snubs, and there's a lot of talk about Pete Alonso and the home run derby, and we'll have it ourselves at 888-808-1019. But for me, it comes down to what it's always come down to for the New York Mets, is how well can they play until July 30th and convince, you know, the man from Milwaukee, as he's called in the afternoon sometimes, this guy with a plan, this guy who has an idea for the future and the stability of a franchise, how much of a dent is he willing to put in that plan to make sure this team that's played as well as any in the National League over the last month has an opportunity to possibly do something special in what is undoubtedly a crapshoot that they call the Major League Playoffs? 888-808-1019. Then we'll get to the Yankees as well, who obviously now go into a stretch, obviously probably even more important than what the Mets are going through right now, just for their own saneness. As they are about, I don't think saneness is a word, their own sanity. As they are about to take on their two big rivals, a team that has really given them problems over the last decade in the Tampa Bay Rays. And then, of course, the division-leading Baltimore Orioles for a three-game set right before the All-Star break. And we could talk about, oh, how many wins do they need? Do they need to win this series? Do they need to win that series? What they need to do is stabilize themselves. And I know I went off on Boone last night. I'm as frustrated as the way they've played as anybody is. I'm as frustrated as the lackadaisical nonsense that we have seen over the last 2 weeks, specifically, probably going back even further than that, but really specifically the last handful of situations we have come across in the last 2 weeks of laziness, inability to hustle, being boneheaded on the base paths, all of it. I'm as frustrated as anybody, and there's no one else to point the finger to more on that front than the manager. Having said that, the level of noise around the conversation of firing Aaron Boone is what gets me in trouble, because it's just, they're not going to fire him, nor should they. He needs to be the one to turn this around, and he doesn't have to do it publicly. I was literally just watching Terry Francona. I was literally just watching Terry Francona on SNY as I was walking in, and he said himself, you don't have to do it publicly. Now, there's got to be ramifications. I get it, but I just find it hard to believe. Sometimes it's on the players. Like, what needs to happen is they need to go into the series, and these guys who have been awful need to play better. And they can't, like, the veteran DJ LeMahieu needs to not make blunders in the field and hang his head and act like he's a sad kid who just lost his puppy. Like, those things need to change no matter what Aaron Boone does or no matter who the manager is. And I don't think there's a magic wand or anything he could say publicly or someone else you could bring in. And we'll get through all the names that have been bandied about, of course, Buck Showalter, for guys who could come in, step in, and take the reins of this Yankee team, and suddenly, boop, the Yankees would just skyrocket to the top because all they need is for someone to say, hey, you can't do that. Like Aaron Boone's not doing that. Like Aaron Boone is just sitting around doing jack squat. But what they need to do in these last two series before the end of this first half is just establish that they can play good baseball. Because I'm still not at the panic mode point. Now, if they get swept in these six games, maybe I will be. And I don't know if there is a number they need. Do they need to go 2-4? Do they need to go 3-3? Do they need to win both series? I don't know. What I need to see is good baseball. That's what I need. I need to see crisp, clean baseball. I need to see this offense do something. And I need to see the starting pitching feel good. Like, I need this rotation to feel stabilized. They're on their way to being there. We know that the bullpen is what it is, right? We know that. We know that they need arms in the bullpen. We know the bottom of the offense is really struggling. And we know the rotation had been one of the best in all of baseball and is starting, hopefully, to round back into form what you've seen from Severino, what you've seen from Nestor Cortez. Even Rodon's last time out was at least a little bit better, a little bit more promising, and we all expect Cole to figure it out. So if they can get some well-pitched games, you know, Judge and Soto can kind of wake up because they're both in a little bit of slumps here, and this offense can just look like a good baseball team, and they can figure out a way to just play clean, crisp baseball. We'll see. The wins will probably take care of themselves, and maybe we'll start to feel better heading into this thing. But obviously, both teams are in desperate need of help come the trade deadline. Both teams are in desperate need of bullpen to start. We'll get into some other things and some of the possibilities that the Yankees can do more specifically within the infield or anywhere else come the trade deadline. But this is the last chance before we get the break of the All-Star game to really get a good look at what these two teams can be. And for the Mets, can they play well enough to incentivize their GM to probably go outside of his comfort zone and make sure this team has a chance? And then can this Yankee team get it together, show us, show their manager, show everybody that they have respect for the game, have respect for themselves, and have respect for Aaron Boone that they claim they do, and actually learn how to play some clean, crisp baseball? Because it's not just about losing, it's about the embarrassment they've become. And that's what we're looking for as we embark on this stretch of a road trip for the Yankees and a homestand for the Mets leading into the All-Star break and the Home Run Derby with Pete Alonso on Monday.